Hey, this is This Week in Pharmacy. I am your host, Todd Urey. This is a surprise episode. We were not scheduled to do this today, but there's too many things happening in pharmacy. Pharmacy land, or I should say retail pharmacy land is retail giant pharmacy land is on fire. It's like that dumpster fire. We got to talk. Today's episode is what a mess. What a mess it is. And I couldn't think of a better person to ask if you could jump on quickly to announce some things that are happening in pharmacy. Last week, we announced within 16 minutes of finding out that Rite Aid was filing bankruptcy and the impact that that's going to have on families throughout communities, as well as pharmacists and technicians and their livelihoods. I cannot believe that Shane said, the accidental pharmacist said that he would jump on with me. He answered the bat phone, I guess. Was it the bat phone or the bat light?
Said Shane, you said, Shane, we need the biggest mess in pharmacy to talk on this episode called What a Mess. So here I am, Shane, the accidental pharmacist, the biggest mess in the world of retail pharmacy. Hello, everybody. How's it going, Todd?
It's so good to see you. It's so good to have you on, Twerks. I've been waiting for this moment. This is just the beginning. We're going to have so much more content from you and your band of amazing pharmacists that are doing some crazy things. I got to meet you in, San Antonio?
No, it was Phoenix. But Phoenix. Yeah, another hot and dusty place. But yeah, it was Phoenix at APHA. We got to spend some time together. It was great.
It was. So want to show everybody my my box of shots for Would You Like Shots With That? Just a shout out to that team.
Shout out to Shots. Shout out to U.S. Pharmy.
U.S. Pharmy.
Yeah, I was in the middle of my run. I was going to run for 2 hours today, and then I was going to have a dozen donuts. But I decided, Todd called me the mid-run and said, hey, you want to jump on the call? So I put on my my Hawaiian shirt with Maurice from RX Comedy's face all over it. And I was like, all right, I get to wear Maurice's face. And Todd sends me the text message, put on the U.S. Pharmy shirt. So I got to do that. Go out and buy your shirt today.
Yeah, you can go to usfarmy.com. That's usfarmy.com. But we have some news to talk about. It's the reason that I reached out to Shane and said, boy, we have got to talk. Because as I said, retail chain pharmacy right now is on fire. And the announcement just came out today, just not even 2 hours ago. It says Walgreens CEO Roz Brewer steps down after more than 2 years in the role. Brewer and Walgreens were in a tough patch leading up to Friday's announcement. Oh my gosh. What better person than to bring the accidental pharmacist on who just retired, I guess, or whatever you want to call it from Walgreens.
No, I worked for Walgreens a long time ago. I originally started my pharmacy career as an actual pharmacist with Walgreens. I ended up coming from Pennsylvania, where you are, but on the other side of the state, near
The dirty side of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah. I'm from northeastern Pennsylvania. So I worked for CVS as an intern, and then when I graduated, I took a sign-on bonus because at that time there was an actual real shortage of pharmacists in California. Walgreens had built all these beautiful stores in the Palm Springs market and had no pharmacists to fill them. So that's when I came out here and started working for them. I spent 5 years for them before I jumped ship and went to Target. The greatest Target, when it was just Target Pharmacy, was like the pinnacle of retail pharmacy. And that's I left Walgreens a long time ago, but I'm on 1 month or one, I'm sorry, 1 week of unemployment right now. I start my new pharmacy gig next week. So
congratulations. I know that's a long time coming. It's something that was very pressing on you and what you went through. You've made national news. You've been written about in international magazines with regards to your advocacy, ultimately, for what's better for patient health in the safety of our physicians, or the safety of our pharmacists and technicians. But I want you to share a little bit about why you became so passionate about advocating for the change in our profession, which is plaguing our retail community pharmacists right now, our chain pharmacies. And as you can tell, with the last 2 weeks of announcements, there is plate tectonic shakeups happening because of very specific reasons. I know the reasons, but we're going to get into that. But just give some of your background of why you became the accidental pharmacist.
So the accidental, the name comes from the idea of never wanting to be a pharmacist. I don't think there's too many people out there, aside from my wife, who always knew from the time she was a little girl that she wanted to be a pharmacist. I just sort of fell into the role. I was in the Navy right out of high school. Like most people, I really wasn't ready for college. I needed a little taste of life before I did that. But I wanted to be an English major. And the reason why I changed courses was after 4 years in the military, I had the chance to see all of my friends graduating with other degrees and couldn't find work. And I had a son at the time. He was only 2 years old that I had full custody of. And I said, well, if I'm going to go to college, I want to make sure that I have a job when I'm done. I wanted a job where I felt like I was relevant and had an impact on people's lives, because I think that's really what people want. And they come into this profession to make a difference. And so I started out as pre-med. And then my first year in college, I ran into a guy whose brother was in the pharmacy program at Wilkes University. Shout out to Wilkes University, Colonels. So his brother was already in the program. And that's the first time I'd ever heard of pharmacy as being something you went to school for as long. And it seemed like a very safe profession. And I thought, all right, I'll do this so that I can take care of my son and build a life. Because if I was going to go to college and spend all that money, I wanted to make sure I had a job when I was done. So that's how the accidental pharmacist name came about. The reason why I started to advocate for the profession is that I could just see the working conditions. I started writing a little bit. I started the page back when I was with Target. Target's model, I only did like 100 to 200 prescriptions a day. So working 13 hours in California is some downtime. So I would write about my experience. And that's when I started to see like a change, because I had a few thousand followers at that time, but people would start to tell me about what the conditions were like at CVS and Walgreens where I came from, and that they were just getting worse and worse. So that's when I started to think about really what can make the profession better, and what can make the lives of patients safer, and what can make the lives of the people who serve them as pharmacists and technicians better. And I thought that I said the magic word, unionization. And when Target Pharmacy was bought by CVS, that's when I had about 6,000 followers, and CVS was like, shut this guy down right now. So about 5 or 6 years ago, when I still worked for CVS, CVS came to me when someone caught wind of the page and said, either shut it down or go find another job. So I went and found another job.
Wow. And well, I just want to say thank you. I know that myself and so many of your followers absolutely love your memes and your content. It's a relief to the stresses that we know a lot of our retail community pharmacies in chain is affected, and they appreciate you, because you, unlike me, I've never worked a day in my life as a pharmacist. I am not a pharmacist. You know, I've been in technology. I've understood GPOs and buying groups and marketing, and that's where I belong. And I belong as an amplifier of you. You're the champion. And so when I see people like you, who are the number one word that comes to my mind when I think of Shane, is sincerity. Like, I think the sincerity is there, and you're very transparent. You're very real. And you can understand that the evolution of big corporate, public traded merger, you know, merging organizations or tanks that are out there in our healthcare system right now, they don't like transparency in a lot of ways. And they don't like their employees giving the good and the bad feedback around what's happening. And let's talk about what's happening. So last weekend, or last Friday, Rite Aid reportedly announced bankruptcy, and in partial reasoning, they say it's tied back to the opioid lawsuit that's coming out because of that entire mess that caught up retail chain pharmacy. But now today we get announcement about Roz stepping down as CEO. So you and I, we live this business. We know what's happening. If you back up, you go uphill from all of the things that are transpiring and domino effect of what's happening. It starts with how pharmacy is paid for, how pharmacists have been in pharmacy in the retail world has been commoditized. Once again, you know, would you like shots at that? All about the commoditization and what that means for patient care or lack of patient care, lack of pharmacists being able to grow their careers as clinicians. And so this is a shakeup, Shane. This is a red flag to the entire healthcare industry that retail chain pharmacy is in tremendous trouble right now. And I don't think there's time anymore to talk about, well, what should we do to change? Like, something has to literally happen within the next 30 days.
Oh, absolutely. That, you know, when I heard that first thing this morning, my phone started blowing up and I'm getting a million direct messages to the page. The administrator's like, well, there's big news because there's like 100 unopened messages. And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, well, that makes sense. You know, this is the problem. When Walgreens shifted, they always prided themselves for a century on being a pharmacist-led organization, a company where the CEO was always a pharmacist. And I think they did better. You know, Roz Brewer, for all of her faults, she might have been the best coffee salesman in the world.
Yeah.
But that's different than being an understanding. Because if you see everyone who's at Walgreens as a consumer instead of a patient, you're going to have no problems walking away when there's a downturn. That's great. I think that leadership is really – true leaders – Anybody who ran Walgreens during COVID was going to succeed, because that's different. If you were running a restaurant during COVID, you might have been able to show your managerial skills and how well you can operate and run an organization. But a place like Walgreens, I mean, the entire world was either sick or worried about getting sick. So if you're the person with all the drugs, chances are you're going to make a lot of money. So I feel like there's very little accountability in the world, especially on the top with pharmacy. So we had a CEO here who is probably walking away with an incredible package and reaped all the benefits of the COVID era. And now she's getting projections for the next few quarters coming and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm going to look terrible here because, you know, sales are going to be down. We're the COVID gravy train. All the government funding is going to be gone. So let me move on to greener pastures and do something else, because I see everybody here as consumers instead of patients. A pharmacist would feel a little bit bad about leaving because of the optics.
I appreciate that insight, Shane. And I want to just shout out to the pharmacists that are working for Walgreens right now. It's you that we appreciate. You are your technicians, your pharmacists, you are the heroes. Just because you're associated with Walgreens, just because you might work for Express Scripts or one of the PBMs or CVS, that is not the reform that we're looking for. We eventually want your help to help the profession per se.
Of course, they are the real heroes. Exactly. On top of Roz leaving, they just had a bunch of, I think, 100 district managers and pharmacy supervisors and a couple other roles in mid-level management that were because of restructuring. And I had called this, that at the end of COVID, when they started to normalize in the amount of vaccinations and other ancillary streams of revenue, aside from just the classic filling model, that they were going to start these really aggressive cost-cutting measures, because when you're a publicly traded company, all of your shareholders are interested in what the next quarter. They don't want excuses. They want the same level of profitability. The answer is, how much profit is enough profit? More. That's the answer when you're a publicly traded company. So it doesn't matter that it was a perfect storm and it was a really great environment to be in healthcare as far as from a business perspective and from a profitability perspective. They don't want to hear that. They want to see now it's going to be aggressive cost-cutting measures. And I feel I feel just as bad for district managers and supervisors that were let go, who've given their whole life to be in the position they're in and were really just let go with nothing, because I'm sorry, this is a business decision, and enjoy the rest of your life, even though you spent the last 45 years with the company.
Yeah, it's just on its head. And it really is. And let's take back what we were saying and once again, move upstream and understand that the payment model that is the incumbent is causing massive amounts of lopsided care, because the money always flows over into the profit side and has absolutely nothing to do with patient care. And what angers me more than anything in this mix, of course, is the effect that it has on our people that need their pharmacists more than ever. Second would be the impact that it's having on our pharmacists and technicians. But third is, I'm a taxpayer. And knowing that there are some really fat wallet, you know, CEOs and boards of directors and stockholders that are making profit off of my tax money really, really, really bothers me. And I don't think the public understands that they're not getting, you know, if we could have Antonio Chacha come up with a graph to say, here's the amount of money that went into pharmacy care in 2022, and, you know, have drug channels double check it. And then say, out of all these dollars and all this revenue, here's the percentage of profit, and here's the percentage of basically everything else called, let's call it care, and everything else that goes in. And that is so grossly lopsided.
Yeah, there's a huge disparity between the amount of money spent that goes to profit and what goes to actual patient care. Just ask a patient or ask a pharmacist if they think all of that money converted at the store level meant for better patient care and better service that they could provide. There's so much lip service in this industry about practicing at the top of our license. That's the buzzword that they say in every organization and every retail chain, at every APHA. How many times did we hear practicing at the top of our license? But we never seem to be, as a community of pharmacists and technicians, hold companies accountable to say, yes, give us the resources to be able to practice at the top of our license. Give us the amount of help necessary to do these things. The only thing that they want to do is make money, and say that to the every commercial that you see is about putting the patient first. But in reality, they don't structure the business to make sure that the patient is really the center of the business model.
And I'm not saying there isn't. I'm a capitalist as well, so I like profit, right? I have to make profit to keep, well, it's not even profit for me yet because I'm not making enough money, but it's paying for the bills, right? It's paying for my life.
Of course, we got to make a profit for sure.
It has to be there, but not at the level that it is. And it's so disingenuous of people that stand there in the public's eye, using our government, using lobbyists, using politicians, to curb and to keep their profits as we're in this battle for PBM reform. Before we go any further, by the way, I do want to give a shout out to today's sponsor. I am very proud of you and Maurice for taking some initiative to get and what this represents for the industry and the profession to just chill out and come together, pick up some CE, meet up, much more networking environment than really anything else, a time to let your hair down. But, you know, it's a opportunity for us to really start talking to the people inside the industry, inside our profession, to then make our little minion plans to infiltrate our national associations, to infiltrate our state associations, to start picking up newsletters from the NABP of your state. Because here's the thing. I know this because I've been in pharmacy. I can now say this. Now I'm starting to feel old. So I've been in pharmacy now for 20 years, and I've seen it go from the way it was in 2004 to now. And massive changes have happened. There have been some very good things that are taking place. Technology is finally starting to make sense. I remember in 2004, they kept talking about interoperability and blah, blah, blah. And I know we're not even there yet, but it's changing. And I think that we're seeing cracks in the armor. I know we're seeing cracks in the armor. They're huge, where the PBMs, the three major PBMs, are getting their ass kicked by government and by state organizations and Medicaid systems and organizations like Three Axis Advisors, led by, like I was saying, with Antonio Chacha. And all of this is cultivating. And I think the pandemic brought so much light to the needs of pharmacists in their community for very specific survival, public health survivability. And now we have people like Dr. Scott Chelson, PharmD, who's leading an entire initiative in wellness and working with Brandon Welsh in our sports pharmacy. And it's snowballing. We have our PGX pharmacists that are coming out of the woodwork. Some of them are very clinical. Others are really trying to build a business and kind of fold it into their consultancy. The consultancy world is booming. It's very artificial right now. There's a lot of consultants coming out saying, I want to run my own business, and that's fine. But we're going to have to find a true way of moving forward, Shane, that pays for medication management. It pays for clinical services. It pays for labs. That includes pharmacogenomics. That includes blood testing, because there's a whole blood testing initiative that's going to be coming out of pharmacy. And then there's our specialists. And so I want to shift gears right now and talk to you about your next move. You don't have to give us any details, especially if those details are sensitive. But I want you to talk about what's the next move for you in your career, and how could another pharmacist who's listening that really respects you follow that same pathway in order to get themselves out of a sector of pharmacy that they don't want to be in anymore?
Well, I mean, it's so hard, because I do see so many pharmacists that have said, like, if you hate retail, or if you don't like your current position, you should leave. I've had people actually say to me a couple times, well, if your wife is unhappy at Walgreens, why has she stayed there for so long? And I respect anybody who spends their whole career in retail and understand. I think that if you spend 20, 30, 40 years as a retail pharmacist, whether you're a staff pharmacist, a floater, a pharmacy manager, you make a difference in so many people's lives, and you impact the health of your entire community. And it's admirable. And people stay in positions that they're not necessarily entirely comfortable with or happy with for a lot of things. They make sacrifices for their family. They build a life. It's very difficult to transition out of something that you're used to, even if it's just making that transition from retail to hospital. If you've been out of practice with clinical services for a long time, it's a very scary thing to think about going back and relearning so much that you forgot. I worked per diem at Desert Regional Medical Center until the middle of COVID, because I wanted to see if I could do some clinical work and if I could work in that environment as well. I stopped doing it because what started out as per diem ended up being every weekend, and I needed some kind of life. So that's the reason why I left. But it was the same way. There were hospital pharmacists that said, hey, you know, sometimes I work in retail and I just get nervous to even do a shift because I'm afraid to answer the phone because I can't answer questions. I don't know how to do certain things. So vice versa. So understand that if you're uncomfortable, don't be afraid to try, because the job that you do requires a lot of skill, and you can be as clinical as your time allows you to be. And I have all the faith of every pharmacist out there that's working for a chain, working for big box retailers, independent pharmacy. They can do the job that they want if they're looking for something else. And it's great that there's the expansion of roles and people are doing all kinds of great things within the expanded field of pharmacy. But there will never be a time where you can't find a career and make a life in retail. And there's always going to be a patient out there who needs you and sees you as the main source of healthcare information and wellness in their life. And you make a difference. So that's important. But if you are unhappy, do not be afraid to make the jump. I'm still in the world of retail, but this is just a little bit different. I've gotten a, I've gotten a position where I'm seven on and seven off because I wanted to focus on advocacy. I wanted to focus on all of these outside projects like Farm at Sea. Thank you for giving us the shout out. But that's the thing is you have all these passion projects and you have a life. At some point, making money is great. And we talked about being capitalist. But if you have a family and a life, you need to find that balance between trying to conquer the world and trying to make sure that your home is in order. And nothing will ever compare to being a father and to being a husband. So yes, it's great. Let's do all these great things. But remember, life is everything that happens outside of the pharmacy. I try to say that at every holiday and a lot of times on my page. And it's truth. It's the truth. Because I wouldn't work so hard for the profession and in my job if I didn't have people that count on me and people that I could take care of and reap the benefits of working so hard. So that's the important thing. Just keep your family in mind. Keep that as your focus and your center, and you will succeed in whatever you try to do.
Tell us about Farm at Sea, because it's an amazing opportunity for the profession to come together and actually have fun together. So please tell us about it.
Yeah, so it was the brainchild of RX Comedy and I. I love now that I have 7 days off in a row, I'd love do something with Maurice and Absolutely. Come up here because he's my brother from another mother. He gets my calls at 4 o'clock in the morning and hasn't blocked me yet. So he deserves all the credit for it. It was just something that happened. We put up a post about Nurse Con at Sea that Nurse Blake runs. Nurse Blake, if you guys don't know him, he's a big celebrity in the nursing world, stand-up comedian. He runs Nurse Con, which is sells out ships on two coasts every year. And we put up a joke about it. And then people started sending us direct messages to the page like, where can I buy tickets for Farm at Sea? And I'm like, guys, it doesn't even exist. It was just a joke. But then pharmacists out there, there's so many pharmacists out there and technicians that have side hustles. And a lot of them reached out to me who had some kind of tangential relationship to the travel industry and were like, hey, you know, let's make this happen. I know so-and-so. So one of my cousins who happens to have a travel agency or work for a travel agency said, hey, we have a great relationship with Royal Caribbean. Would you guys be interested in seeing if we can make this happen? And that was the impetus behind Farm at Sea. The reason why we have Dan Schneider is one of the ways that I monetize on my platforms is through a discount card. I know I said a dirty word right there, but discount cards like GoodRx, well, EasyRx is the one that sponsors the page. And the reason why I had a very big moral dilemma in the beginning with GoodRx or with EasyRx when they asked to sponsor the page, but I feel like discount cards wouldn't even exist if it weren't for the way that big box retailers and chains like Rite Aid and Walgreens and CVS try to inflate the prices by, you know, 1,000-2,000%. And an unsuspecting customer can go in and pay $85 for a 90-day supply of a drug that costs them pennies to acquire. And that's the reason why discount cards exist. So that's how I rationalized it. And one of the reasons why I partnered with EasyRx is 50 cents for every time the card is used goes to a charity of my choosing. About 2 years ago, after the pharmacist documentary came out on Netflix, I sent a message to Dan Schneider and he said, hey, give me a telephone call. So that first call with Mr. Schneider, we talked on the phone for about 2 hours, and I said, I want to give all the money going forward to Tunnel of Hope charity instead of every quarter giving it to a different one. So for the last 2 years, his charity, Tunnel of Hope, to help combat the opioid epidemic, gets all of the charitable donations from EasyRx. Mm-hmm. And when we started this Farm at Sea, he was one of the first people who were like, my wife and I love cruises. I would love to come on board and give a talk and do a meet and greet and have a few drinks with all my pharmacy friends. So that was the first big name. But since then, we've had a lot of like pharmacy celebrities and social media personalities, including the Fit Pharmacy Dad, who has about 125,000 followers on TikTok, and Delano, who happens to be the funniest and most famous pharmacy technician in the country, over 500,000 followers. And he just announced that he's going to be part of it. So there's anything you want to do inside pharmacy, if you're looking to be inspired, if you're looking to hear about aspirational stories, this is the place to be. I promise there's going to be some CE and some education on board, but this is going to be the first pharmacy themed event, the first really, really fun convention style thing. And you get to see me in heels and Maureen in a wig. What's better than that?
Heck yeah. I'm excited. Yeah. I've followed Maurice Shaw, Doctor of Comedy, for years. He's been on our show a couple times. He actually came on with Patrick Finnegan, or he's known as Dr. Now I'm losing his name. Damn it. See, if you're
lying. You've been in pharmacy world for 20 years. You start to forget things.
I do forget it. But I am excited that this gathering is taking place. I think it's time for healing in many ways. And it's also time to just kind of recharge batteries together and come together and talk. It's amazing that that Dan Schneider, when the Netflix hit the airwaves, I reached out to him. I didn't think I was going to get a call back or a email. And sure enough, he called first. I didn't know the number, so I let it go to voicemail. As soon as I found out it was the pharmacist, he came on. But he came on twice. He came on the second time. He came on with Miss America, Camille Schreier. She was the only Miss America to serve two terms because of COVID. And she's a champion. She's a future pharmacist. I think she's just finishing up.
On rotation right now. So she'll be graduating this year.
Yep. So it's time for us as an industry. And I've been supporting this whole initiative to develop superstars in our profession that we can not only support, but we can encourage other pharmacists to realize that they can make a bigger impact by being a blogger, a content creator, a TikToker, someone on Instagram, but networking, talking with other pharmacists, other professionals that you can trust, that you know are doing things in the best interest of our profession. And there's nothing wrong with disagreeing. You know, our network is made up of 42 different pharmacists that concentrate on about 65 different themes. And we're talking about pediatrics and biosimilars and drug development and marketing and community pharmacy. And do every single one of those hosts agree with each other? And does every single one of those hosts agree with me, the herder of squirrels, in order to get content out 6 days a week? And the answer is no, I don't agree with everybody. But what I do believe in is advancing the profession, supporting the role of our pharmacists and our technicians. I will never stop doing that. And it doesn't, and I don't have to, we're in a day and age, Shane, that's very frustrating for me because I don't want to sound like a whippersnapper, but I've seen changes in our society where we are becoming more hateful to each other. Yeah. If we're in some kind of disagreement, and if the commands at Express Scripts and CVS Caremark and Optum all came to a table, I would treat them all with respect because of the professionalism. That doesn't mean that we don't disagree, and it doesn't mean that we don't have these little fights against each other's initiatives if they're in the wrong venue of what is patient care, pharmacists leading, you know, health care, leading decisions about therapeutic interchanges and not formularies that are controlled by you know, board of directors at some table that wants to put one MDC over another because they're making more money on it. Like, this is happening. This is everything that we saw happen last week and this week. Rite Aid filing bankruptcy, Roz Brewer stepping down from CEO. What I want to shout out to our pharmacists right now, every single one of you, your retail, your specialty, your long-term care, you're making a difference, okay? You are making a difference by supporting organizations, by developing content, by working together. But for the goodness sakes, you don't find the associations that you feel best in supporting and do something. Do not, I cannot stand this group on Reddit. It's the pharmacy Reddit group. I don't go there anymore because it was just too negative. There was too much negativity. Nobody was doing anything. They were just bitching.
Yeah, well, you know what? There is a lot of bitching on any of the platforms. I understand that because people are frustrated. And you do need an outlet and a community of people that understand your frustrations with the industry. But that's what I won't call out exactly who I spoke to, but I spoke to leadership at APHA. They probably denied if I said the name anyway. But I had a great conversation with them for about 30 minutes during APHA. And I said, I understand that I might not always say things that you're going to agree with, but I'd like to utilize my platform as part of the solution. I want it to be a place where we can come together. We can discuss our ideas. We don't always have to agree, but it's important to have a place where you go. I know there are plenty of people out there who don't support a lot of the things that I do, but they still follow the page. And yep. That's really the key. Is if you're going to affect change, you're going to have to say things sometimes that not everybody wants to hear and not everybody necessarily agrees with. That's how progress is made. And I never delete a comment. I never delete an opposing viewpoint. And I think that's important. And that's what's going to be highlighted at Farm at Sea. We really are going to embrace everybody's ideas. And we really are going to embrace the idea of, like, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to be a very structured setting to really make some great ideas and leaps and bounds and things that you can learn and take back to the communities that you serve, to the industry that you're in, and that's important. The last thing I'd like to say about Farm at Sea is when we were in Phoenix, there was 3,000, 4,000 pharmacists in attendance. How many technicians did you see there? Maybe 25 if you were lucky. And technicians are a huge part of our industry. They outnumber pharmacists exponentially, and as they should be. We could not survive without technicians who are supported, who are educated properly, and are championed. And we wanted to make sure, Maurice and I wanted to make sure that technicians were represented in a way that they're not in most organizations. That was really important to me. So it's one thing to say that we want technician involvement, but we wanted to highlight them and make them feel relevant in that this is a place for them just as much as it is for pharmacists. And that's the reason why one of our keynote speakers, Melissa Page, she's a former technician and now she's a rock star, CEO of her own organization. She runs a patient advocacy summit. She's one of the keynote speakers. Delano, the other thing, he's you know, the most famous technician in the country. And we try to, from a cost perspective, I mean, APHA, $1,500 to attend. And that's not including anything to eat, except for maybe some hors d'oeuvres if you have any left.
Right.
If you're invited to a party and your travel to get there and your room. So $1,000 a person with everything included. If you can make it to Miami, it's a great, even when we get off the ship and we're at the private island, the perfect day at Coco Cay, the food off the ship on the island is covered. You're all the hidden fees that are normally associated with a cruise, the taxes, the Wi-Fi, the mandatory gratuities per stateroom are all included. And so $1,000, I still realize that's a stretch. We're running some promotions. We actually did a promotion 2 months ago that we were just randomly selected a technician to receive their $200 deposit back. And then this month, it's serendipitous that today is September 1st, because we had a pharmacist reach out to us that said, hey, I want to attend this, but I already have something scheduled. I would like to sponsor the same thing you did and give the $200 deposit back to a technician that books. So any technician who's really struggling but really wants to come on this, if you book between now and the end of September, you're going to get, we're randomly going to select one that gets the $200 deposit back. So $800 for a cruise, all inclusive. That's a pretty good deal. So shout out. I will let if the pharmacist would like his name said, I will definitely let you guys know that. But go ahead and book today between now and the end of September. You could potentially get your $200 back.
We are going to take another quick break to hear from Dr. Maurice Shaw. And I have one more question before we go for the day. This has been such an amazing opportunity to talk with you, Shane. Thank you for...
Yeah, we should do this more often.
He's so talented. Absolutely love Maurice Shaw. I can't wait to see him perform live. And I've never met him in person like I have met you, Shane. But I'm looking forward to it. So this is going to be awesome.
Maurice is so talented. And honestly, he's the most genuine person I've ever met. I love him like a brother. And I am so excited to, you know, I feel like I've met Maurice a million times because we've been friends and we speak on a daily basis almost, but I have never met him in person either, believe it or not. So now that I have a life back, I'm probably going to see him a couple times before we're actually on the cruise and performing together. But honestly, I have nothing but respect for the career he's built and the life he's built for himself inside the world of pharmacy and out.
Well, whatever we can do here at the Pharmacy Podcast Network, you know, you have my absolute support. Not to put you on the spot, but I do want to ask, will you come back to This Week in Pharmacy with a segment that we can dedicate to you and even Maurice or any of our initiatives that are driven by your insight? Because your insights are just phenomenal and we need more of it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And now that I actually have the opportunity to be able to commit to something like that and some time to do that, I would love to be part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network and support all the great work that you're doing. Everybody, followers, non-followers, go out and buy a shirt. What the charity that you give to, I'm in full support of as a veteran. I think it's great. And I would love to be a part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network in any way I can. Sponsors, find me a sponsor. I don't know. You got to find the right sponsor for me. Beard thing that I could grow a beard with or something like that.
We're going to find you a sponsor for sure. I have several in mind that I think would fit that aren't afraid of the rough edges, because I think we need edges, because rough edges mean transparency and it's a little bit more. I don't want super polished stuff. I like the gritty of real life.
Yeah, you got to be genuine. You know, for all we're saying, there's so social media personalities out there. If you can't be yourself, you will never be successful. Anyone out there who's trying to be a social media influencer or personality, whatever, don't try too hard. Don't overthink it. Be who you are. You know what? You're awesome. You're a delight. I like you. So, you know, the world will like you. You'll find an audience, no matter how weird or quirky or whatever you are. You will find yourself an audience by being genuine more than you ever will by trying to be something you're not.
Shane, this has been awesome. Thank you so much for cutting your run half.
And I'm only getting a half a dozen donuts. Maybe I'll go live and do the donuts later.
We'll see. Oh, I can't wait to hear more from you. Thank you so much. This has been This Week in Pharmacy with Shane, covering our What a Mess retail chain industry that needs healing. We need to come together, RX, and heal together. But thank you all for listening. If you please would subscribe on Spotify or Apple or any of the podcast stations, support one of our 50 plus pharmacists out there who are pumping content through this network. We believe in you, pharmacists. We believe in you, pharmacy technicians. We have Mike Johnston, who's leading the National Pharmacy Technician Association. He will be coming aboard soon to advocate for our pharmacy technicians. And there's going to be programming opportunities. I want more comedy programs, Shane. So I'm going to be looking to you and Maurice to deliver that to us.
That sounds good. Hey, pharmacy on, guys. Have Walgreens reach out to me if they need an interim CEO. I'm interested in the job. I will be get a discount off Roz's rate. So I will definitely take that up and I'll get on that comedy right now since I have some free time.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon, Shane.
Take care.
All right, the accidental pharmacist, Shane Jaromonski, Dr. Shane. You can find him at thecacc_pharmacist, probably everywhere. I know he's on Instagram. I know he's on TikTok. But follow him, support his organizations as well as Pharmacy. And we will see you next week on This Week in Pharmacy.